on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, welcome back to the program. Welcoming your calls at 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310 if you have any questions or comments for Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education. If you don't understand what he said, whatever, you have concerns of your own that we are not have not had time to address, feel free to give us a jingle. Hi, Don. Nice to have you back.
Vicki, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You've been a busy guy lately.
Oh, my.
Very busy guy. We're going to actually cover a number of different things. The budget cutting exercise, and I mean exercise, it was a real exercise that that the school district engaged in.
Well, define real.
Well, okay. I mean, it was real. I mean, they came up with a nicely pretty printed sheet of paper. Okay. And we're going to talk about the issue of health insurance and the cost of health care coverage for district employees, and whether or not there is more transparency now and what we can do about that, although it does seem at this point, because of the negotiations issue, it's still a little bit limited, but at least we've got people who are willing to ask the question. God love you, Ruth Robarts. And we've got some other things that we're going to get into as well, including some of the new school board candidates that are that have presented themselves. We've got Lucy Mathiak and Maya Cole both out very strongly thus far. I had a chance to talk to Lucy. If not, I had a chance to talk to Maya. Love to have a chance to talk to Maya. And we'll get her on the program as soon as we can schedule her. Let's start, though. Let me think. I think I want to start with the budget cutting exercise that you know, you're participating in this stuff. God, I wish a lot more people would participate in this stuff, but you are, and this is kind of one of your passions. So the issue of the budget, we had a huge issue with the budget, and of course the school district has got itself in a position where apparently it's just not efficient enough to get the budget done. It bases its budget planning on estimates from the state. Did anybody bother to address the problem of time and how they actually get the budget done, and they can't get it done on time? I'm guessing that didn't happen.
Right.
Okay, so that wasn't even addressed. So they're still just not even, they're just still guessing, you know, with what the state may or may not give them in
the
amount of money.
The state budget does define that they'll get so much more money the second year of the biennium, which would be the next budget.
So they're good on the second year, but never on the first year.
Well, they're not good until October.
But we do have a budget cutting exercise, so I'm taking a look at this. And if I'm not Don, if I'm somebody who just probably walked into the room for the first time, I'm looking at some of these items here, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, they're willing to go there. So we have teachers, assistants, all these kinds of places you can go, but then it's asking the question, so if there are teachers to be cut, let's say I want to investigate whether or not Reading Recovery, which is a program that you've been critical of, that a lot of people have been critical of, is successful enough, and we should maybe explore some other opportunities to get people, to get kids better able to read at a sufficient level. I suppose I go under teachers to find that one, right? Except that you're saying I would just have to cut all the teachers of that program, and we couldn't investigate whether that program was working or not and whether those teachers should be cut.
That's correct. The only thing that you can do is try to find out, and I couldn't last night, in terms of how many teachers there are in the Reading Recovery program if you wanted to eliminate the whole thing. So,
and to eliminate the program, you'd have to, the way you get to it on the budget sheet is to eliminate the teachers.
That's correct.
Okay, well, let's say I'm somebody who doesn't want to eliminate the teachers because I don't think it's necessarily a good thing just simply to cut teachers, but I want to find out if that program works. Where do I go on the budget sheet?
You don't.
It doesn't exist.
No, not in this
exercise. So they've already pigeonholed certain aspects that are of concern to a lot of motivated taxpayers out there, and they've already pigeonholed the process, so certain things are off limits.
Well, yes, unless you know what it is you want to get at, and then ask where does it fit in here, and how do you go about doing it. The exercise doesn't allow that.
And all the exercise wants you to do is cut.
That's correct.
It doesn't want you to investigate. It doesn't want you to find out whether or not something's working well or not working well. It just says, okay, citizens, go ahead, start cutting. And then, of course, they're going to ignore your cuts. Even if you do decide you're just going to start cutting randomly.
There's absolutely no relationship to this budget exercise to programs and services. It's really all personnel and utilities and transportation.
So here's where we're allowing you to cut. You can cut teachers because apparently they're very comfortable with that idea.
Well,
you can cut teachers, you can cut custodians, you can cut clerical workers, you can cut all these kinds of things, and we can ignore you later, but you're not going to get into some of the other things that are huge, like let's say the Community Services Fund, which is better known as Fund 80.
Outside the revenue cap.
Outside the revenue cap, so you're not even allowed to go there. Let's not even bother investigating why we have pontoon boats for fun under the Fund 80. Reading recovery not there. What about the administration resource teachers? I mean, are you able to get at what they do, and are they effective enough, or do you just have to cut them too without even asking the question of if it's good or not?
No, in some of the information they did provide, they did identify 34.5 FTEs, full-time equivalent resource teachers, and six and a half administrators, and they identified how much that would amount to. See, they boiled all this thing down to $100. They took a $317 million budget, 3,500 and some line items in their accounting system, and boiled it down to 47 line items that you could deal with. And they want you to cut $10 million, which is the equivalent of $3.85 on a $100 budget.
Okay. Oh, this almost seems absurd.
Yeah, don't vomit.
Okay, I mean, this isn't the way you get at it. You know, you say to the citizens of Madison who are concerned, active citizens in education or concerned citizens or whatever you want to call them, look, here's what we have in the budget. What are you concerned about? I mean, obviously we have money that we need to deal with, and we're spending too much money, and we need to deal with that. But are there certain issues that you would like to investigate, whether or not we could do it for less money, as opposed to just saying, let's cut the program? I mean, I think reading programs are important. You have kids who are not reading up to snuff. You want to make sure you get them reading. But is reading recovery the best way to get at that? We have had a pretty good argument saying, no, that there are better programs out there. Let's at least find out. It's an audit that you need more than a budget-cutting exercise.
Well, you need a cost and cost-benefit analysis of programs and services.
Yeah, you can't just say, pupil transportation, well, heck, let's just cut it. I mean, I'm looking at some of these things. Let's cut the custodians. You can't ask people to do this.
Right. Well, you know, the Reading Recovery Program, for example, they did an internal study, an assessment of that program, which they didn't tell anybody about until there was an open records request and it happened to surface. That was the first we even knew about it, that there was anything done to evaluate it. Well, by their own evaluation and assessment department, they found it's only getting 47% success rate of getting third graders to read at third grade level by the end of third grade. 47% success.
So half the kids.
And they've had these kids for 3 years.
Half the kids don't have, they're not at third grade level.
These are about 350 of the hardest students to deal with in terms of learning, reading. But we're spending over $8,000 per year for each one of those 350 pupils above the average cost per pupil.
Which is somewhere in the realm of $11,000.
It's almost 13.
Somewhere in the realm of $13,000.
That's what you said, Vicki, yes.
And we're getting 47% success rate.
Right.
Okay, I mean, then the question the citizen would ask is, are we getting enough of a result for the money we're spending? Is there a better way to do it? We're going to take a quick break and take some phone calls as well. This is Upfront.
Talk 1310 WIBA. Take a break from the political bull and watch some real bulls. The PBR is coming to Veterans Memorial Coliseum January 13th and 14th. And News Talk 1310 WIBA is giving away family four-packs of tickets. Just listen to Madison in the Morning and Upfront for your chance to win. The PBR. The world's toughest bulls and bull riders in the world's toughest sport on dirt. From News Talk 1310 WIBA. And that's no bull.
I'd like to introduce small business owner Bill Hyde.
Hello.
Bill needs a wireless provider.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's crazy for ringtones.
No.
Oh, the funkier the better.
No, that's not true.
He'd love a camera phone.
No, listen, I need six lines for my business.
Say cheese, Bill.
That's how most wireless companies treat their small business clients, just like everybody else. But at U.S. Cellular, we've tailored our services to meet the unique needs of small businesses. Take our business-trained associates, for instance. Every U.S. Cellular sales and customer service associate has been trained to provide customized business solutions. And it's why we have priority support, so when one of our business clients calls, they're automatically routed to the front of the line. Because we know you need to get back to what's really important, running your business. To get your business booming on U.S. Cellular's guaranteed wireless network, call 1-866-USC4BIZ or visit uscellular.com/business.
By choosing Badger Basement Systems to install Scapewell Basement Window Systems by Bilco, you will not only brighten the environment of your basement, but you'll also gain easy escape should an emergency arise. The experts at Badger Basement Systems are the only certified installers of Scapewell Basement Windows in the area. So whether you want a new basement window for safety or looks, call the pros at Badger Basement Systems. Call Badger Basement Systems at 1-800-262-1880 for a free estimate today. Badger Basement Systems, your trusted basement environmental specialist.
Melt away the winter blues with Cutter Harley-Davidson Buell's January Price Thaw. All Harley-Davidson Sportsters in stock are on sale,
including the 06s.
If you've ever wanted a Harley-Davidson Sportster, now is the time to get yours. Save 20% off store-wide during the January Price Thaw at Cutter,
including service.
Avoid the spring service rush and get your bike service today. Sorry, 20% off excludes motorcycles. Don't miss Cutter Harley-Davidson Buell's Price Thaw in Janesville and Monroe. The January Price Thaw starts January 13th and absolutely ends January 23rd.
I'm John Audius with this WIVA Sports Update. Henry Mason is back on the Wisconsin Badgers coaching staff. The Badger receivers coach hired today by Brett Bielema. Mason has been with Wisconsin since 1995. Now, Bielema will speak to the media tomorrow along with running back Brian Calhoun, where it's expected that Calhoun will announce he's going pro. Also tomorrow, USC running back Reggie Bush will hold a similar press conference. NBA, the Bucks will look for back-to-back wins and back-to-back nights tonight when they take on the Pacers in Indiana. Coverage tonight starts at 5:40 on our sister station, ESPN Radio 1070. Meanwhile, Kobe Bryant will try to extend his streak of four consecutive games of 45 points or more tonight when he leads the Lakers into Portland. Bryant is the first player since Wilt Chamberlain to score at least that many in four straight games. The late Reggie White is among 15 finalists announced today for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. White, Troy Aikman, Thurman Thomas, and Warren Moon are named as finalists in their first year of eligibility. Catch the Mike Eaves Show tonight at 6:05 right here. I'm John Audius, WIBA Sports.
Always just minutes away from Madison's first news. Now Upfront continues on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All righty, welcome back to the program. This is Upfront. Don Severson, my guest from Active Citizens for Education. We're going to get back into this budget-cutting exercise, and that's all it was. It was cuts. You didn't get to ask any other questions. You just were asked to cut. But Ken wants to make a comment. Ken, you're on News Talk 1310.
Yes, thank you. I'm calling about the budgeting and just why they continue to budget increases in the school board office down there on Doty Street. There's been no cutting by the apartment on the cost down there. And the other thing is that serious changes in school financing, when is the board and Rainwater going to do some serious consideration of how many employees they have down there to provide for the extra care? And also in his article on Saturday, he says that, it's approved. This increases learning ability. Well, I think the ultimate is one teacher for every student. We can't afford to have these smaller classes. Is it better to have the smaller classes or to have the kids have an opportunity? And the other thing is, I think Don was talking about before, we haven't done anything for the minorities. We use them for a vote, and then we forget them after the vote. When they get the referendum passed, they forget the minorities. I don't know, Don, you can comment how you do the budgeting or things they should be looking at, not looking at what you would do, Don.
All right, let's Don, that's a lot.
You got a whole load there, Ken.
I appreciate it. Like eight things you have to come up with an answer for in the next 2 minutes. So let's get it to as many as we can, wherever you want to start first.
Okay, well, the administrative budget, that's been sacrosanct. Don't touch.
Is it on the budget cutting sheet?
Well, the administration is listed there. General administration, superintendent's office, legal services, public information and communications. Yeah, that piece of it's there. But business services and all of that is a part of administration. Principals, coordinators, resource teachers, you know, on and on and on and on and on. That typically has not been up for cut, and if it is, oh, we can't do that.
That's right. So we don't, and we have no idea if there's. We had, I mean, I had people calling me up on the program saying I worked there. There is huge amount of waste. There is huge amount of idleness as well. So, but you can't go there.
Well,
not gonna happen.
Yeah. See, when they say can't,
means won't.
I translate that to won't.
You bet.
All the
you
time.
You bet. Of course you can. It's just that they don't want to for reasons we're not quite certain about. Love to see a full audit of all administration in the Madison school system.
Yeah.
We're not getting that, are we?
No. When Ken was talking...
They can't, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. When Ken was talking about the achievement gap and the minorities and so forth, there again... You know, what are the programs doing? What kind of results are we getting?
And let's talk about that, actually, because that's a really important question that he got in at the very last second. And I know, Ken, we're probably not going to answer all your questions because we do have to take a break, but we'll try to get to more of those on the backside. This is Up Front.
Today's topic on the web at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310, WIBA.
All righty, welcome back. And Don Severson's in for another break. Let's not forget to address the issue of the minority achievement gap, because I think that's what Ken was getting to at the end of his last question, his multi-question question. So I think we'll have gotten to then two of the eight. But one of the concerns is, of course, what are we going to do about the minority achievement gap? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are our programs working? You can't ask these questions in this budget-cutting program. You can't ask them. You can't even go there. You know, let's just address some of the programs, and are there better ways to try to close that gap? Is one of the ways to close the gap, you know, potentially not continually undervaluing the ability of some of these students? I mean, I think there are a lot of assumptions that are made about kids, not just minority kids, but also kids from poorer neighborhoods, that they can't learn it. And I think that's something that doesn't challenge students. So can we take a look at some of these other issues that don't just involve cutting teachers or adding teachers?
Oh, I think we have to. And I do think fundamentally the expectations for achievement have to be raised. The bar has to be up there. Make them stretch. Make them reach. Find ways to support them. Get the parents involved. And I know that's a big challenge.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But, and I'm sure it's not as... Yeah. I think we also make a lot out of the challenge, assuming that... you say that it's a big challenge, and the district says it's a big challenge, and the board says it's a big challenge, and I'm sure it is perhaps a greater challenge because you're talking about people in lower socioeconomic status situations who perhaps don't... Perhaps they're younger having kids. Perhaps they don't really understand why they need to be involved. But I think there are plenty of parents out there who are willing to step up as long as they feel empowered to do it.
Absolutely. And it's just not acceptable the way we're doing it. And I think fundamental to that even is, why do we put so much pressure and emphasis on trying to make sure that pupils read at the third grade level at the end of third grade at the proficient and advanced level? There shouldn't be anything any more important than reading proficiently at the first grade, because they're already 2 years behind by the time they get to third grade.
That's a good point. You lost it. You might have lost them by third grade.
Right. And by the time they get into eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, and they're not reading, how can they achieve?
Don? That's an excellent question. You typically see the programs in the third or fourth grade.
Can you give me an answer to that?
I'll give you the answer. Well, that's a better way to approach it.
I'll ask the majority of the board and the administration that same question. There isn't an answer.
And what
to
do
that.
You do if this is your exercise? If this is how the people are empowered to be involved, what do you do to ask that question or to get the answer you need to that question?
You can't.
All right. On another issue as well that I think is huge that we can't get to as well on the issue of budgeting. Thus far, because of the issue of... Because of the problem with negotiation of teachers' contracts, is health care insurance and how much savings we could find simply by bringing more competition into the health care benefits packages for district employees and teachers. You also attended a meeting on that question. So we have $40 million we spend in premiums...
Yes.
Okay. For our...
For all employees.
All
combined.
Employees in the district. $40 million in premiums. We have one of the companies that's involved, WPS, that charges much more. It's a different plan. It's not an HMO. It's a premium plan. But it's $700 a month per family higher of a premium than another HMO-style plan. My question is, couldn't we just simply, I mean, isn't this an easy place to go? You've got an HMO that's offering a lower cost plan, or you could expect some of the employees to pay their premiums themselves, to pay into it, you know, like I do and you do. Mm-hmm. And couldn't we save a pretty substantial amount of money just going there?
Well, we would like to think there's substantial savings that could be found. However, in order to be able to do that, what you really need to do is to do a cost analysis and a cost comparative analysis of the provisions of the two plans that we have, plus additional plans. Now, this joint committee between the Madison Teachers Union and the school district, that committee met today, and that's the meeting I attended. Well, they had the WPS folks and the HMO folks, the GHC, present their programs and their plans. Well, most everybody knew what that was anyway. Now, the next meeting they're going to have in 2 weeks, they're going to have Unity Insurance and Dean Care present plans. But nowhere is there going to be any presentation from two of the most competitive plans.
Where's Physicians Plus?
Yeah, Physicians Plus isn't there, nor is the state plan.
And the state plan is one that has been talked about a great deal, actually. And so maybe there's a pretense of trying to get more competition into the process, but right now there's a couple of competitive players out there that aren't even sitting at the table.
Right.
Lucy Mathiak actually is a candidate for school board, and she just called in. Hi, Lucy. Don Severson's here as well.
Hey, Vicki. Thanks for having me on the other day.
Anytime.
And I actually wanted to follow up on the comments on engaging minority families, because the district makes it sound like it's really, really hard. And yet when you talk to parents of minority students, what you find is that they're having trouble getting a response from the district.
Right.
There are many parents who are coming forward and trying to contact and work with principals, either in general to make schools better or over specific concerns about their child. And I am hearing over and over again that people don't return calls. They leave the building rather than talk to the parents and so forth and so on. And so it's, you know, some of the things that are portrayed as huge mysteries are really not mysteries at all.
Well, the reason I immediately jumped on that is because I've talked to enough people out of the city of Milwaukee who are dealing with kids from poorer families. They have to be at 185% of the poverty level for a family of four, and a lot of kids are well below that, who are going to choice schools, and these parents are fully engaged. So you're talking about poor parents, parents potentially who are, you know, barely speak the language, and they are engaged in that city. I know if they can engage in Milwaukee, which is a very troubled system, they certainly can engage in Madison. I totally agree with you. There is got to be a way to make the connection there, and I don't think it's fair just to simply say, well, they're not interested in participating. I don't think that's fair. I also think it's insulting.
Yeah. Well, I think the district has to make that a priority,
Yeah. Make
it an expectation, and reach out to make it happen rather than say, oh, we're here, call us,
we won't
or stop
return your
in.
Calls.
Right.
Lucy, you hang on the line, okay?
Okay,
all right, I want you to stay on the line. I've got a couple more phone calls, and Don Severson is my guest. We'll be taking your questions and comments as well in the next break. This is Up Front.
Bringing you the weather you need, whether you want it or not. Talk 1310 WIBA, Madison's weather station.
Ah, Mr. Woodchuck. You know, at Viridian Homes, we find ourselves fascinated by his get-her-done mentality. For when the woodchuck needs a bigger den, well, the woodchuck simply rolls up his sleeves and gets to work. Burrowing and building, building and burrowing. If the woodchuck knows what it takes to make a home. But for you, well, you're not as skilled as the woodchuck or nearly as tenacious. And the need for a larger great room simply means it's time to buy a brand new Viridian home. A home that's Wisconsin Energy Star certified. That's right. A home built to lower your energy bills. And if you can't sell your current home before your new one is built,
we will buy it. For more information, call 226-3000 or visit ViridianHomes.com. Viridian Homes. Dream. Build. Live.
You won't miss any of the action at Rookies with 29 TVs, great food and beverages. Rookies, 2 miles west of the Shoebox, open 7 days a week.
I'm John Audius with this WIVA Sports Update. We'll start with college football, where Badgers receivers coach Henry Mason will stay on with Wisconsin as an assistant coach. That announcement comes today from new coach Brett Bielema. Mason has been wide receivers coach since 1995 at the UW. Now, Bielema will hold a press conference tomorrow. Also, running back Brian Calhoun, where it's expected that Calhoun will announce that he's turning pro. NBA, the Bucks stopped a 3-game losing streak last night with a win over the Timberwolves. Tonight, they go for 2 in a row when they take on the Indiana Pacers. Coverage starts at 5:40 on our sister station, ESPN Radio 1070. The search to replace Mike Sherman in Green Bay continues. Defensive coordinator Jim Bates finally got his interview yesterday. GM Ted Thompson has only one more scheduled interview with Steelers assistant head coach Russ Grimm. Reggie White, one of 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Results of the voting will be announced February 4th, the day before the Super Bowl. Get the latest on the Badger hockey team with the Mike Eaves Show tonight at 6:05 right here. I'm John Audius, WIVA Sports.
Give us a listen on your way to work, during the day, or on your way home. We'll keep you informed throughout your day. Now Upfront continues on News Talk 1310 WIVA.
Welcome back. We got another break here. And Lucy Mathiak, who's a candidate for school board, she's actually going to hang out on the line with Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education. And we got a couple of comments, questions, whatever. I'm just going to let either one of you guys jump in on this, if you don't mind. So let's get, I think Kevin's been waiting longest. Hi, Kevin. You're on with Don Severson, Active Citizens for Education, and also school board candidate Lucy Mathiak. Kevin?
Yes.
Hey.
Right here.
You're on.
Hey, I got a question. Actually, I don't have a question. I am a psychic. I'm going to tell you, you guys were talking about insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you who's going to get the insurance.
Okay, let's see it. Let's see it. Not Kevin, the great Karnak. Okay.
Kevin the Karnak. It's going to be WPS.
Okay.
And we shall not forget that Mr. Matthews, who is the president or the chairman of WPS, also happens to be the president of the union.
Well, he's actually not chairman of WPS, and I'm not even, he did at one time sit on their board of directors. Yeah.
He did. Okay. He's the executive director of MTI. But he is on the board of WPS.
Yes, I think that was the point you were trying to make.
Yes, so, that's the point I'm going to...
That's okay. Sometimes psychics, you know, every now and again, just the edges of the details are a little fuzzy. You know, that's why we're here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, thanks very much for the call. And yep. I'm not going to say anything more about that because I don't have any proof backing up any sort of conclusion to draw from that information. Karen, you're on with Lucy Mathiak and Don Severson. What is your question or comment?
Well, actually, I was just going to ask, I thought you had talked on a previous show about how many six-figure salaries there are in the administration building. A friend of mine worked there, and she said the last thing you ever want to do is get stuck in a room with a PhD there. They'll hold you hostage for a couple hours.
Well, actually, I'm going to let Lucy jump in on this because I think this is a big bone of contention, and that is the administrative salaries. And as she asks that question, I happen to have a book here that might have that information. But Lucy, why don't you jump on that one?
Well, I would like to see the numbers on that. And I have to say, some of the numbers, Don, you can correct me on this, but even in terms of tracking who is earning what, that is not terribly transparent. Am I wrong on that, Don?
You're absolutely right.
Okay, no, I'm just curious because I work for the state. And, for example, you can go to the web and pull up the Red Book for university budgets, and you can look up my salary by my name and find out what I earn because it's state information, it's public information. We don't have that with the district.
You can get it, I know. I'm just not sure you can get it online. You can access it very easily. I actually had that information linked up to the website, and I am not certain if I have pulled it down, though. A lot of the links to Active Citizens for Education are still there, so it may still be on the website. I'll have to check on that. But there, that was one of the things that Don was talking about in the meeting, the budget-cutting exercise. Alleged exercise, that one of the things you couldn't get to wasn't just salaries, but the business budget for the administration and whether or not we're using that money efficiently.
Well, that's right. And the other thing that you can't get to is where people actually work and what they do. And, you know, I don't know. I guess you were part of the test group, Don?
Yes.
Were people allowed to talk about how many administrative positions?
No. Well, I wouldn't say that they weren't allowed to. Nobody did. And I don't think we'd have gotten an answer anyway.
Yeah, because that's been one of the other interesting pieces of the budget process is that the boards had no problem making art and music teachers come down and grovel for jobs. But when it comes to giving people notice that they may be laid off, not cutting their jobs, just giving them notice, the board has said, oh, we can't do that. They'd feel so bad.
You know, and they seem to have no problem having, you know, people with kids in the talented and gifted programs come down and grovel for programs.
Yeah.
But you're right. There seems to be certain portions of the administration that are a no-go. Unless you're very aggressive, you're like Active Citizens for Education, and you've been requesting information. You haven't gotten all of it yet either. It's one of those. They make you jump through multiple hoops to get information. I'm going to look for those administrative salaries, though. We've had those a number of times for the past couple of years. And so when I have them down in my office, I just don't happen to have them
up
here.
As I recall, not just in central administration, but administrators across the board, I think there's over 75 who are making six figures.
And actually, that sounds about right. Lucy, thanks very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Don. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Lucy.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Lucy, we'll have to have you back on another time in the future, and got to get some of the other candidates it's on as well, but Lucy happened to be the first one I had a chance to talk to. Don Severson, always great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Vicki. I really appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with a poll question of the day results, and then, of course...